on digital radio, on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast World Cup coverage.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Messi driving in, Messi crossing back, Paul, there it is! Lautaro Martinez, stoppage time, go ahead goal for Argentina!
The most dramatic game of the World Cup. Welcome to the Sportscast, July 17th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all your channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or you can follow us on X and Instagram at thesportscast1 and check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. As you saw in the cold open, England loses against Argentina. Argentina's last-minute heroics by Lionel Messi. They were down 1-0 from the beginning of the second half, came back, tied the game in the 80th minutes, and then Messi, of course, shoots the volley all the way to Lautaro Martinez. And join us from Hal Phillips. You can't pick a better time to recap and preview the World Cup final. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Well, thank you, Santi. Wow, that was a great opening you did there. It was bringing me back. That was quite an afternoon. The whole thing, before, after, during, it was everything a World Cup semi should be.
Quite something. As you saw there, Argentina stunned England with a late rally to reach the World Cup. The first goal came in the second half by Anthony Gordon. I believe it was in the 51st minute. But how overall, what'd you think about this game? And, you know, going through it if you want.
We were talking before, I can't decide whether what England did was so abjectly stupid and poor and weak, or Argentina is just remarkably gifted and resilient. And when they decide to turn it on, they turn it on. Maybe it's a bit of both, but wow. The first goal came in 58 minutes on the 50, you know, in 58, the 58th minute. And,
55.
You know, yeah, 58. England, they didn't have the game in the bag, but they were winning the game. They were laughing at Argentina, who just continues to foul everyone and never get carded. Most fouls on the tournament so far, Argentina. Least yellow cards in the tournament, Argentina. Remarkable. I mean, but they laughed it off. They did exactly what they had to do. But the moment that the ball went in, you expect Argentina to throw themselves at England for 5 or 10 minutes, and they did, and England withstood it, and they still screwed it up, and we can talk about how they did that. But yeah, I don't know what to think. All I know is that you can't say that England deserved to go through. You just can't.
Yeah, quite something, which there's been a lot of talk this past 2 days, especially from the English press, how Tuchel, you know, played defensive after that first goal. They mm-hmm. put in some defenders and substitutions. They couldn't be offensive at all. I mean, I don't remember one, you know, expected goal or any shot on the goal. But your thoughts over that strategy, Tuchel going more defensive than just going and just keeping your foot on like the on the pedal and going like, you know, try to go for that other goal, you know?
Yeah, very difficult to do. Easy to talk about and write about the day after. Very difficult to do. Let's consider two examples. One was Spain against France, arguably a better team than Argentina. When Spain scored that goal, did they stop playing? No, they kept doing what they were doing. Now they scored a little earlier than England did, their first goal, Spain's. But look at how Spain substituted. Their back line was unchanged. They put in Llorente, they put in Pedri, they brought in Ferran Torres. They brought in attackers and midfielders for They kept doing what got them the lead. And you know how they saw out that game? They scored the second goal. That's how you step on someone's neck. That's a good team. And I believe Spain will beat Argentina because they're deeper and more disciplined and aren't going to do what England did. Now, let's think of the second example. No, the England performed a remarkable rear guard action against Mexico because they had to. They were down to 10 men. Of course, they threw on Dan Byrne and had to try and see it out. But they did none of that kind of substitution. I mean, I think they had Bellingham and Kane and Gordon went off first. But their attacking threesome was in there all by themselves after they took Declan Rice off, after they took Anderson off. They gutted their entire midfield to bring on Dan Byrne and Nico O'Reilly, and they never played Eze. They had the bodies to put on the field in place of Declan Rice, who was exhausted. Everyone put in a huge shift before that first goal to take the lead and weather that 10 minutes right afterward. They were gutted physically. Well, that's when you bring on people who are going to play, who are going to try to go forward. That's how good teams win. I just don't understand how they don't do this instinctively. They play for club teams that do this. But the idea of translating it to the English squad is obviously harder. The stakes are larger. The psychological trauma that they've experienced growing up and as players so far is larger. Managers in this situation don't have a lot of control. So I don't necessarily blame Tuchel for this team's inability to stay with what they were doing. But he does have control over substitutions. Right. And substituted out two midfielders and a striker and brought on basically three defenders. I think the die was cast.
Yeah, the die was cast. Argentina let Argentina try to equalize the goal. Came until the 85th minute by Enzo Fernandez. How tell us about this Argentinian team. I mean, they hustle. They grind. As I told you before the show, they remind me of the New York Knicks when they beat the Spurs. I think I believe all the games they did not lead in the first half. But tell us about this Argentinian team. Why is it different and why they deserve to be contenders now?
Well, I think when you've watched all of their knockout games, all of them have been close. They should have lost two of them. They've all been similar in that this team does not come out and dazzle you. This team does not have pace. That's why they play the way they do for an hour before they have to do something else and attack. And they wait for their opponent to be annoyed and exhausted before they throw any kind of running at you. That's why England played such a great first hour. Argentina never tried to counterattack them. All they did was try to annoy the English and not let the English run by them because the English team was faster. They had more pace on either wing. And I think that's what Argentina knows about itself. They don't have the bodies to play an all-out sort of running, attacking, even a counter-attacking game against a quality opponent for 90 minutes. And of course, they're dragging Messi around. And when I say that, I'm just talking about how you have a guy who's not going to track back or play any defense and is going to be walking, 60% of the time. They've adapted to that. Portugal hasn't. So they're a very strange team, but they are obviously full of confidence having won a World Cup like this already and won a Copa America like this already. They know they can turn it on when they need to because they have the best player in the world and they understand how to conserve their energy for an hour if they have to. They could do it for 80 minutes if they actually pot a goal. No one sits on a lead and defends it better than these guys. So they know what they do and they know what they do best. They do what they have to win according to events. And I don't think there's a better example of that than the England game. They did nothing for an hour. All they did was chop these guys and try to annoy them and try to get yellow cards and not conserve their energy. And when they needed the energy, boy, did they have it.
Yeah, very provocative Argentinian players towards English. Now tell us, I know you wrote about the rivalry USA-Mexico. Tell us how big rivalry Argentina-England is to the audience.
Well, it's I think surpassed Argentina and Brazil in a lot of ways. And I can't think of a rivalry that the English have that is more charged than this. I mean, they play France. They play Germany. They fought two World Wars against Germany. they admire the Germans. You know, they admire the Germans for the way they are so very English. I mean, the English are Germans. They're Angles, you know, and Saxons. These are all German. So it's a they have a rival with Germany, but it's not the same. There's a combination of history and circumstance that makes that rivalry what it is. And it just keeps getting more and more dire. And the English just keep losing in more and more heartbreaking fashion. So the Argentinians love this. And so they feel like they have a rivalry with the English because they have a birthright to make them cry. And the English are just hell-bent on beating this team when it matters and reclaiming their self, you know, their self reputation, their identity, their self-respect is the wording I was looking for. That was a humiliating loss in a way that the U.S. lost to Belgium, but there's no stakes in that game. We don't have any history with Belgium. We do, I guess. We got kicked out of the 2014 World Cup, but God, it's just such a heightened situation. And it's the finest international rivalry on the globe right now. I don't know that I would have said that because it's been a while since they've renewed acquaintances, but here we are again.
Yeah, it really took a while for this game to happen. It was the first time that Little and Messi played against England. Mm-hmm. So it took a while. So I'm glad this game happened. Mm-hmm. It lived up to expectations, I would definitely say. So we'll see what happens. But now they're in the finale mm-hmm. in New York City against Spain, the Spain that beat France, the only team that I thought that could only beat France, Spain. What do you think about this game? Obviously, this is like the one that, you know, Lionel Messi has played in Spain most of his life, and he's recircled back for this weekend. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Well, I think the more instructive idea is that Spain knows how to play Messi. They're not cowed by him in a way that others are because they've played with him and against him for 20 years, a lot of these people. A lot of these people came up at the Barcelona system with Messi or with him as a senior player and them as junior players. They admire him, of course. One of them was bathed by him as an infant. That's got a lot of play, but look, they're just not cowed by this guy in a way that a lot of people are. But they also understand that Messi can do nothing for 90 minutes like he did against England and then produce two game-winning assists. So I do think that Argentina will do what they did against England and that they don't want to run with this team. They don't have the pace to do that. They don't have the skill all over the field to do that. And they are going to counterattack them when they get the ball. But as we saw against France, it's hard to get the ball off of Spain. They hold it. They do incredibly constructive things with it. They tire you out as you try to get it back. If you do, they take it back immediately. They are a machine. And I just can't get over how skilled they are on the ball to hold it and create chances, because they don't just knock it around. They create chances. And when they have to kill off a game, they can do it that way. When they have to defang an opponent that has more firepower than it does, like France, that's why I picked Spain to win the game. I just didn't think France was going to get the ball enough, and they did not. How many shots did they have before garbage time? Zero. They never put a goal. Who would have guessed that? So, and the other thing that we learned, and we talked about it or alluded to it, is that this team is deep. They bring Pedri, who might be the best midfielder in the world, off the bench. They bring Mickey Marino of Arsenal fame off the bench. All he does is score every time he comes off the bench. They slot people into midfield and attacking positions in the 70th minute when the other team is tired and their own attackers and midfielders are tired, and they don't fall off in any way. But instructively, they did not sub out their back four in that game against France at all. And you know what? Neither did Argentina. And not until they were throwing on attackers at the very end. These good teams don't finish the game with six, center backs. They play their center backs and that's it. They're going to go all 90 and let everybody else do the running. And if they have to sub people on, they put the runners in for runners. That's what England didn't do. So I think Spain's going to win this game too. I think that everyone knew that they were great. They are the reigning European champions. They beat France twice the last time they played them. Now they've beaten three times in a row. And Argentina's probably trying to figure out how they can deal with this team, not the reverse.
quite something. We'll get the score prediction a little bit later in the show, but you forgot to mention Pedro Porro, Tottenham Hotspur player, scored against France. Mm. Who'd have thought? Hal?
Amazing. You know, I'm a Tottenham fan, so it was a trying year. So I'm looking for silver linings. Jed Spence produced some moments. Pedro Porro produced moments. Romero has been Romero in the middle of the Argentina defense. Mickey van de Ven played well. I mean, how in the world did we give up as many goals as we did during the Premier League season? Romero was hurt a little bit. With that, that's our back four. I mean, yeah, that's pretty good. These are world-class players, obviously. So that, you know, I was proud of him. And Pedro Porro is a very forward-going right back. But, you know, if you're going to play for Spain, you have to be skilled. And that dude is skilled. He can go forward. He can handle the ball. He'll you know, cut your throat if he has to, because he's a hard-nosed player. But, man, they are just loaded. And you know that they've got a whole back four that they could sub in that would be outstanding. But this Pau Cubarsí, 19 years old. He's played every minute of this World Cup, I think. Next to Laporte in the middle of that field. They're two 19-year-olds on this team, and they could win the World Cup. They're very, very good. And they would be very, very good without Lamal. And I think we can see that. He's been fine. He's been dangerous, but they don't need him to score goals. They don't need him to create. They have a system that works. And when they get tired, they can plug in four world-class midfielders and attackers to replace those who have, you know, done their shift.
And, you know, playing the defensive five side for Spain, I've been hearing Cucurella will be the guy that will be marking Lionel Messi. You think he's the right guy to stop him and maybe, you know, to stop that supply line?
Well, you saw the issue with dedicating a guy to marking Messi in the England game. A lot of times it was Jed Spence. A lot of times it was a more central player. They passed him off. But every time he got the ball and moved into a dangerous position, he took the person marking him and he took the person who joined the marking with him. So that's two guys that you are influencing in the structure of a defense, pulling them away. And you saw Messi at the end of that game. He was exclusively on the wing because he wanted to pull two defenders out of the middle where, you know, 5'9", Lautaro, Gonzalez. Is he who scored the winner?
Lautaro Martinez.
Martinez, sorry. He that's not a big guy. But that ball was perfectly over John Stones, and there weren't a pack of guys. There it is. It was picture perfect. But I guarantee you there were two players out to the right with Messi when that ball was played with his right foot. So, you know, you saw it happening because you were so labored. We belabored the ending of that game watching it because it was such a defensive slog that we were watching. Every time they got it, they kicked it away and it comes back in 7 or 8 seconds. I don't think you can try to mark Messi. He's standing around doing nothing most of the time. I wouldn't man mark him. I wouldn't. I would pass him along, and when you have to take him down, take him down. But it's a conundrum that every team that faces him must deal with. But I sort of feel like Spain is too good and too proud to man mark him in a serious way because I think they feel they're the better team, and I don't think they're wrong.
I would definitely say that, you know, how Spain is the only team that can stop France, I could say Spain might be the best team to stop Argentina. But I've seen crazier things.
A lot of teams have almost stopped Argentina. I mean, Cabo Verde got...
Only team that can stop Spain and Argentina to a draw.
They're the only team to have taken the World Cup finalists to overtime, to extra time. Actually, no, there was no extra time. They stoned Spain, 0-0. Right. They lost 3-2, you know, to Argentina. I mean, what a performance. But, you know, how many times this is three great escapes by Argentina. It'd be quite remarkable if they did it again, and truly magical. And they do have something going on there. I mean, you just can't deny it. They love each other. They understand each other. They've got just extraordinary support. Very few countries on earth express their identities as strongly and as dedicatedly to soccer as Argentina. They love it more than anyone. I mean, there are countries that love soccer. I'm not saying there aren't, but right. Someone was saying to me that they'd been to a lot of games. I heard somebody talking on a podcast or something, and they thought that, you know, they did sell out most of these games. I mean, we have to say a lot of people, and myself included, didn't think that would happen. But in terms of, you know, Spanish support, someone estimated that maybe 15% of the people in the stadium for Spain on Sunday will actually be Spaniards. The rest of them are of Spanish heritage and live here or live in Canada, what have you, or, you know, Mexico. There's a big Spanish population there. But Argentina has the most fans, you know, in the of the quarterfinalists who are here from Argentina to support their team, you know, in that way. And, you know, you have to take your hat off to them. They are an extraordinary bunch of fans, and this is an extraordinary team. But they have not been refereed in the way that every other team in the tournament has been refereed. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it's crazy. There is a website about VARCHECK. And the, a lot of the calls go towards Argentina. I was reading a stat on that. So I'm definitely it's funny because everyone talks about it.
It's a, well, it's not sour grapes. I'm not, I've got no dog in this fight. But when you have the most yellow, when you have the most fouls and the least yellow cards of all the quarterfinalists, that that tells you that you're not being called for. And the one time they did get a yellow card, it was reversed. And the Swiss striker who was got thrown out of the game, and that decided the game.
Pretty much.
The, Switzerland had just tied that game. That was the other great escape. That team Argentina where they wanted them. They actually out-Argentina. They sat back and played defensively and didn't do anything nutty, and then they nicked a tying goal, and all of a sudden, Argentina is tired, and they had the momentum. Boom! Their best player going forward is thrown off. They're playing 10 men. And the game was just a matter of time. They've been extraordinarily lucky, and they've been the subject of an extraordinary referee.
Quite something. All right, here's I mean, I told everyone that's facing against Argentina, I told the English, I told even the Spaniards right now, look, the calls are going their way. FYI.
Well, you know, that may end. There's, you know, they've done them enough favors. If they come out and start hacking people and do something dumb, they might get a guy thrown out in this game. Because
which has not happened, but they have committed a lot of fouls. So we'll see how it goes.
It's so brazen, Santi, to see what they did in the first 10 minutes of the game against England, which, you know, you do. I've done it myself. You send messages in the first 10 minutes. But, you know, a couple of those were clear yellow cards, and the referee, they dared the ref to call it, and he wouldn't do it. He didn't want to decide the game. And when that Paredes guy got carded against Switzerland, your center back or your defensive midfielder, you know, if he has a yellow, he can't do things that he wants to do. That was going to change that game even more. Flipped it. Oh, by the way, he's out and you're playing 10 men. Sorry. And the game was over.
Quite something. Well, we'll see what happens. There's also one more game, Hal, before the final is the third, fourth, the bronze medal game between France and England. You know, historically, I know you got to play these games, but a lot of them, a lot of those teams are not going to play their starters, going to play like their B team. Your thoughts over this matchup in Miami tomorrow?
I don't care. I don't believe that I can't believe they still play this game. It's the last thing that an entourage wants to deal with after they've been boned and gutted in a semifinal is to go and play on short rest a game that I don't know. I have no, Kobe Mainoo hasn't played at all. He'll probably start. They're definitely going to play second string players and give them a shot. I think France has more players who are fresher. They played maybe only 15 guys in this tournament, as opposed to England, who really played. I suppose it's a testament to Tuchel's roster choices. They did play almost everyone. They probably would have played Chris Henderson if he didn't break his wrist after the Mexico game, jumping over to celebrate. I don't know. I can't decide. I wouldn't even know where to begin. I don't think they should bother playing the game. But I guess that's what I say. They shouldn't even play the game.
One thing I will say is that it could be a chance for Mbappe to score more goals to get that golden boot. That's only one side leverage you could get. And of course these games, you know, you could score a little bit more goals. They're usually blowouts sometimes, but I think the Netherlands beat someone 3-1 in one of the bronze medal games in the past, but you could definitely see a lot more goals. We'll definitely see Conte. I heard Conte might be playing this weekend. And
N'Golo Conte.
Yeah, which I forgot he was on the squad.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he'd been named the squad. He's pretty old.
Yeah, he's pretty old. 2018 winner.
What an incredible player he was, though. But for especially for Chelsea in the club setting. But I don't know. Let's talk about the final. I can't be bothered. Isn't it amazing how much analysis we have seen written and spoken about the England loss? I mean, it really did capture something dramatic, even in the American market. People just can't stop talking about it.
You think we'll be talking about in history, years from now, we'll be talking, that England-Argentina game?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've seen online. I think there's a lot of people on Threads, for example, who are really into explaining soccer to the Fediverse or whatever they're calling it, and it's getting a little tired. But it grabbed people. It's just so Shakespeareanly sad. I mean, it was absolutely terrible to watch. I mean, when they scored the second goal, I had this guy calling me. During the latter end of the game, and I thought it might be a serious matter, and it ended up being a sort of an emergency. I just walked out of the bar and took the call because I was like, I'm not watching this, and I didn't.
Oh, you were at the bar watching this match.
I was at a really great pub in Portland, Maine called the King's Head.
Cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I had some really great.
They're very British, I bet. I mean,
I was going for that. That's what I was going for. There are no Argentinian bars in Portland, Maine. So.
I'm sure not.
So yeah, has grabbed people because it's just amazing theater. That's what international football is about. I mean, all watch great club matches. No one cares as much as this in a club match. They care, sing, they cry, but they don't have national trauma like this. And that's what the British are going through now. The English, I should say.
Quite something. Well, now we're going to our predictions. I know we talked about the third, fourth place game, but who do you think will win the bronze, France versus England?
France.
France wins it. I'm going to say France. I think there's more leverage and Mbappe wants to get that golden boot. I think I don't know if he'll start, but I know he'll come in eventually and maybe scored one or two goals to get that count for a golden boot. All right. In the finale, Spain versus Argentina in New York City.
Right.
Who do you have, Hal?
I saw an amazing stat. I think I think Spain's going to win anyway on merits. I think in the last, every European championship or World Cup championship since 2017, men and women, the team that played the first semifinal and advanced and was the beneficiary of 24 hours extra rate, extra rest, they have won 13 of 14 titles.
No way.
13 of 14. So I think on that alone, Spain is better placed to win this game against an older, less pacey Argentina big team to begin with. So I think that's one reason to pick Spain. I just have to add that the stat is even better than that. The one exception to that, the 13 of 14, was the women in 2017. And the team that won the 2017 European Championship, the Netherlands, they played the second semifinal, but it was played on the same day. It was played like 2 hours after the first one. So it wasn't even a rest, a significant rest. It's a really huge thing at the end of a tournament when you're knackered and beat up and recovery time is so important. So I think Spain is going to win for that reason. I think they're going to win because they're younger and more pacey. And I think they're going to win because they are much more disciplined. They want the ball. They can hold the ball away from people. We've talked about all this. I think they're the best team in this tournament. They already beat the team that everyone thought was the best team in this tournament. And I think Argentina knows they're going to be up against it. I just can't wait to see how Argentina plays it because they're some KGMFers, these guys.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, my prediction is Argentina wins it because luck is on their side. They've been grinding it out. And I don't know. It's something about Argentina, something is just pushing them forward to that championship. And we'll see if Lionel Messi ends his tenure with a World Cup trophy. If not, he'll get full circled with Spain. So we'll find out this Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to it. Hal, what is the best way for people to reach you online and talk about your book?
You can reach me at siblingrivalry.halphillips.net. That's the book's companion site. And siblingrivalry.halphillips is my Threads and Instagram handle. So yeah, get in there, buy books, leave me a note, talk some soccer. And I can't wait for Sunday. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a great final. It's going to be very, very interesting.
It'll be very interesting. And you could get his book, Like in our description, there's a link right there. You can purchase on Amazon. Go get it. I got it. This rivalry is huge. We just saw one a couple of days ago. This one's also as big as that one. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on X and Instagram. Enjoy yourselves this weekend. Go hang out with family, friends. Maybe have a beer, have some nachos, eat some paella or Argentina empanadas.
Where are you watching, Santi? Where are you watching?
I'm going to go to a friend's house, and we're going to have paella and some Argentinian empanadas. So what do you make?
You're covering all the bases. Good job.
I'm covering basics, so I should be fine. This is me. I've never had this excitement just like the Super Bowl. It feels very Super Bowl-ish. So we'll find out.
Yeah, no, it should be good fun.
All right. Well, Hal, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Always my pleasure, Santi.
And this was your World Cup coverage.